Good morning, church. How are you? See, no one ever says the how are you. It's just normally the good morning. And then when I ask that, there's like half of you, and they're like, what? So anyway, good morning. My name is Daniel Shanks. I'm one of the pastors here at Living Word United Methodist Church. I have the privilege of working with our young people, who most of them are sitting in this area. There's some over there. Thanks. Nice to see you. Today is a special day, and it's not just because we got an extra hour of sleep, but it's good. Most people come to church on that Sunday, not so much on the other Sunday, but today is a good day for that reason. But we're also starting a new sermon series. Our sermon series, and I'm going to look at it before I screw it up, it's going to be called Love, Walk, Do. And if you've ever heard that, if it kind of rings a bell, it's based off a scripture passage out of the book of Micah, which I am going to read to you. This is Micah chapter 6, verse 8. It says, "No, people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God." So this sermon series, like this version that I just read says, do what is right. Most say, do justice. So we're kind of paralleling that passage with this sermon series. And you may be saying to yourself, well, Daniel, that's not the right order. We're talking about love first. That's because today is also special because it's All Saints Sunday. You guys ever heard of All Saints Sunday? Yeah. It's traditionally the first Sunday in November. And it is special because today we remember the lives of those that have gone before us. We remember those people who influenced us, because I would venture to say that not everyone here, you know, picked up their faith just kind of naturally. It came out of a relationship, right? My faith is the product of my parents. I have no illusions to that. My mom was talking to me about God before I even knew what was going on. I am a Christian. I am standing here before you today as a pastor, largely because my mom was having those conversations with me. And guess where she learned about her faith? Her parents. You guys are on the ball today. Now, this may seem insignificant, but I want to paint this picture a little broader for you. We as Christians worship Jesus. We worship a God whose son Jesus came like 2,000 years ago. Now, I want you to imagine 2,000 years of families, of friends passing down these stories. This isn't just my mom's mom. I mean, I could sit up here and say my mom's 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 for 2,000 years worth of people. Friends, that's a lot of saints. Now, I want to make that even a little broader and say Jesus was Jewish. Jesus followed the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which goes back thousands more years. Friends, we are standing here, or we're sitting here today, I'm standing here today, in Living Word United Methodist Church because for thousands of years, people have been trying to understand our relationship to God, and they have been a part of the story. You see, a saint is someone who is a part of God's story. It doesn't mean much else. A lot of times when we think of saints, we think of someone who has been sinless, right? Someone who has done nothing wrong. But that's not necessarily true. Saints aren't perfect. The definition of a saint is someone who has been a part of God's story, who has influenced other people. All of us are kind of saints in training today. You guys realize that? How many of you have ever seen Pastor Michael do a baptism? It's good. When he finishes, when after the baptism, he introduces whoever he is baptizing. He says, hey, let's welcome so-and-so, our new saint. It's part of the process. Saints are not perfect. We are not perfect. In fact, the one thing that all saints have in common is what we're talking about today, mercy. Now, how many of you know what mercy is? There's like one nod. I remember what mercy is. Now, the problem was, I never was able to give a definition of mercy. I just knew what it was. I remember playing mercy in middle school. Do you guys remember this game? It's where you grab the hands of someone next to you, someone that is you're supposed to trust and care for, and then you try to hurt one another. And whoever literally cannot handle the pain any longer says mercy. And the idea is they let them go, which isn't always the case. But that was my first understanding of mercy. And then when I came to write this sermon, I'm like, mercy is one of those church words. Like we talk about God being a merciful God. We say prayers like, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. But mercy's that game, mercy's kind of this thought, but what really is mercy? So guess what I did when I didn't know the definition? I looked it up. I got on the Google, and I did that just to irritate you guys, I'm sorry, the Google. This is what the Google said. The definition of mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone who it is within one's power to punish or harm. I have experienced mercy in my life. I have had people who had every right and ability to punish me, and they haven't done it. I was that kid. I've experienced mercy from my parents. I've experienced mercy from teachers, from employers. That worked better when Michael was actually sitting there because he was like... But all of us have experienced mercy, right? Is there anyone out here today who can honestly say, like, never had a moment where someone was merciful to me? I'm right on this one then. Because we're all here, right? We've all done something that at some point our parents justifiably could have destroyed us for, and yet we're all still here today. Mercy is withholding judgment. But there's something more than that, because when we talk about God being merciful, if God is merciful and loving and perfect and all these things, then is it just God not punishing us? I mean, we'll take that, right? But I think there's something more going on there. When we talk about divine mercy, it's more than just God withholding punishment. You see, we talk about God in terms of perfection. We worship a perfect God. Guess what doesn't go well with perfection? Imperfection. Guess what we are? Imperfect. All of us fail all the time. Like we call it human nature, right? It's in our nature to not be good at things. But God is perfect. And divine mercy, in my opinion, is truly, it's not just an absence of judgment. It's the fact that God wants to have relationship with us in spite of the fact that we're broken. A perfect God wants to be in relationship with imperfect beings. That's merciful. That's an effort on God's part. And it doesn't have to be that way. But that's the way God would choose it. The scripture that I've chosen today is from the book of Revelations. I can honestly say that you just shook your head at me. Revelations is one of those books that Christians from across time have just absolutely disagreed on. It was the one thing that we do agree on is that it was written during a time of Christian persecution. So this book was written during a time when the Christian community was suffering very greatly because of their faith. Okay? And so what I'm going to do, this passage is a good one, I promise. I say that about every scripture passage that I read. That's losing credibility. When I read this, I want you, regardless of your opinions, whether you believe Revelations is a literal thing that is going to happen, or you believe that it is symbolic, or you believe somewhere in between there. Friends, put that aside for a minute. Remember the fact that these words are coming to you from a Christian community that is hurting, but also a Christian community that is in such great need of mercy and has hope beyond measure. Hear these words. This is from Revelation chapter 7. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a great roar, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings, and they fell before the throne with their face to the ground and worshiped God. They sang, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the 24 elders asked me, "Who are these who are clothed in white? Where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you are the one who knows." Then he said to me, "These are the ones who died in the great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. That is why they stand in front of God's throne and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will give them shelter. They will never again be hungry or thirsty. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun, for the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Friends, if we look at Scripture, there are two constants. Only two. Do you know what they are? Humanity's inability to get it right. Humanity's absolute failing and God's absolute mercy. If you were to boil Scripture down, that's it. We screw up, God does not give up. The entirety of Scripture. Now you guys can go forth, you are biblical scholars. I'm serious about that though. Look, go back and just like start reviewing any of the stories that you heard as a child. Guys, I don't think we understand this sometimes. We have literally done everything in our power to ruin the relationship that God wants to have with us. None of us would be in this relationship if it was our choice. We'd be like, this is unhealthy. We killed God's son. Love incarnate in the world. And we were like, no, we can't handle this. And God still wants a relationship with us. In fact, use that as a pivotal moment to show us without any doubt or any question, like, no, literally, you've thrown every single thing you can at me. I'm not going anywhere. You deserve to be punished, but I'm not going to do that. I am going to give you my presence, my love, my relationship. Friends, that is the good news today. The good news of the gospel is that in spite of our inability, God's mercy opens the door for a relationship with God. God literally takes that punishment portion out of our relationship. He takes it away, and in that void, he puts his son. He puts relationship with the divine. And the reason this scripture is chosen, which, by the way, this is one of the most common All Saints' Day passages. The reason we're talking about this, the reason we're focusing on mercy, is that this passage shows us beyond any doubt in our minds that God's mercy does not stop. No matter what you do in this life, God's response will be mercy to you. You may still have to deal with some of your consequences, but God's response will be mercy. And on top of that, this passage lets us look a little farther, right? When we're talking about All Saints Day, we're acknowledging the fact that people have come before us, that there are those who started this journey who are no longer physically present with us. But friends, God's mercy is still working on them. In this passage that we just read, it talks about the tribulation, and some people will account that to the end of days, like the very last thing that happens, right? Or some people think it's just our lives, like we're all going through, we're living through trials and tribulations. And regardless of how you believe that, what this is saying is that God's mercy is not done with us even when we are done. What this is saying is that God's love takes us in our brokenness and will not stop offering us mercy until we are literally in God's presence. Did you catch that part at the end of that passage? After it first talks about people being brought in, right, and praising God, but it talks about some redemption. It talks about them being cleaned. God takes their brokenness and makes it right. But then it doesn't just end there. God's not like, okay, you're forgiven. Go sit in the back where you belong. They're gathered around the throne. And he who sits on the throne will give them shelter. They will never again be hungry or thirsty. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun, for the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. It doesn't say that getting to that point is going to be easy. It says nothing about that. But it says that God's merciful love is never going to be done with us until we are all gathered into God's presence. Friends, I said you are all saints in training, and that's true. What makes a saint? Being a part of God's story makes you a saint. You are all already a part of that story. You are already a part of the transformation of this world that God has planned. You are part of that. You are a catalyst in transforming the world. In spite of your failings. That is just, that blows my mind. I can't, like, I'm repeating myself at this point because it's literally not, it's not. Guys, that's insane. That's how much God loves us. That's the extent of God's mercy. There is no extent. So my question for you is this, and some of you say, like, Dan, I don't want questions, I want answers. Well, guess what? I don't have answers. I'm willing to say that. I can talk to you about Scripture. I can tell you stories. I can do so many things. But friends, I am benefiting from God's mercy just as much as the rest of us. And so instead of trying to tell you the way it is, which I don't know, I want to give you questions to think about. Pondering questions. Because today is a day of remembering. Today is a day of pondering. And so my first question for you is actually, we're not even going to start with questions. Each and every individual one of you, I want you guys to think of a time where someone offered you mercy. And I'm going to challenge you. Make that a time not like, well, I didn't do well on the test, but my teacher gave me an A anyway. Like, I want you guys to think of a time where mercy, like, you felt it, you understood it. Can you do that for me? Find that memory. And when you find it, I want you to remember how it changed you. What is different in your life because of the mercy that someone has shown you? How has it impacted you? And then, my saints in training, I have an even deeper question for you. How can you show mercy to other people? If saints are remembered because of the impact they have on other people's lives, I just want you to look around. This is like the small circle, right? Each and every one of you is affecting people on a regular basis. Are you showing mercy in your life? Are you taking the mercy that God has given you, and are you reflecting that to the people in your community? And this is like the hard, hard question. How do you think you will be remembered? That may be one of the most humbling or sobering questions that people have ever asked. Like, how do you want to be remembered? How do you think you will be remembered? You are more than a memory, but what you do impacts other people, and it affects other people. Now, that's us as individuals. We also know that we're not gathered here. We're not alone. Like, we're in a room together. We are worshiping. It's Sunday. People across the world are worshiping. What is the church doing to show mercy? And I'm not asking you that question because I think Living Word is somehow bad at showing mercy. I think we're doing good things. But my question is, where does the church need to show mercy? Where should it show mercy? And I'm asking you that question because if your story is anything like mine, you will know that the church can be a place of great pain. I tell people regularly, the church has hurt me more than anyone else, but it has also been the greatest source of healing in my life. Where do we as a church need to show mercy? Second question for the church. How are we equipping saints? I think we do a pretty good job of it. I actually asked Michael when I came here. I found out we have, like, Living Word, we, has actually gotten like 12 pastors. Like, our pastors from Living Word are everywhere. It's almost weird. Like, I go to annual conference and they're like, this is so-and-so. He was at the church. It's like, oh my gosh. But it's not just pastors, right? You guys are saints. It's not just people who work at the church. You are saints. So how are we equipping you? How can we maybe do better? How are we equipping one another? And I'm sorry I don't have answers for you on that. But these are questions that we must think about. if we are going to continue to be a part of that transformational work, we have to remember that not only are we a product of mercy, but we have to be sharing it. We have to be reflecting it. We're going to get ready and do communion here in just a few moments. Friends, this table right here, this altar, this place where we have our meal, we talk about it being a sign of God's love to us. But guess what? In the United Methodist Church, we practice open communion. Everyone is welcome. Every single person, regardless of your brokenness. Friends, we are all welcome at this table because of God's great mercy. And in God's great mercy, when we are allowed to approach this table, we experience God's love. I want to watch a video with you guys. As I said, this is All Saints Sunday. We would do well to remember those who have gone before us. We would do well to celebrate their lives. And we're also still grieving. And friends, you need to know today that grief is absolutely natural, and it's okay to grieve. If you are grieving a lost one today, we're with you. The church is with you. Come talk to one of us. But join me as we watch this video, as we celebrate the lives of the saints who Living Word has been a part of, and they have been a part of us. We do not forget. As a church, we remember. As a people, we remember. And if you're thinking about this, and you say, why don't we talk more about this? We actually talk about this every single Sunday. I want you guys to listen when we do communion here in a little bit. One of my favorite parts of our communion liturgy says, we join with the company, with all the people on earth and all the company of heaven. We sing your praises as we join their unending hymn. That's what we just talked about. That is part of our communion liturgy. We acknowledge that through God's mercy, when we approach this table, we are gathering with the saints across time, both those that have gone before us, those now, and those who will come, because that's where Christ meets Christ's people. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our memories. We thank you for our shared stories and our experiences. We ask that you would be with us as we grieve, as we mourn, as we celebrate, as we honor all those who have gone before us. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. And we thank you that we can be a part of your transformation. We love you. We thank you. And in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.